Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We're back, everybody. We're back. Did you miss us?
I don't think anyone missed us. How many how many tweets do we get? People are like, where are you guys?
Yeah, not many. I don't know.
I don't know. I don't run that Twitter account. I've got no idea.
I got a couple.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Two people.
Oh, God.
This has an audience, though. It's not as successful as my other more successful podcast.
Oh, here he goes. He's just banging on about how successful he is. Well, I'm here to tell you. You're not as successful as you think you are at being a husband.
No, that's actually not true.
He's really great a husband.
I'm all right.
At a husbanding.
Hey, there's always room for improvement as you yell at me every day.
No, I don't yell at you. What is this show, though,
when we do it?
Oh, yes. This is Suggest for Podcast. I'm Claire.
I'm James.
And we recommend things for you to watch, read, and listen to every week. We're trying to get back to every week.
We're
a little late with this episode, but that is okay.
That's all right.
That is okay because we have a brand new spanking baby.
Spanking baby?
Not spanking baby. Oh, God. Sorry. No, I just, you know, this is brand spanking new.
Yeah.
That's a phrase. That is,
yeah, you see, you've switched some words around there and it
it doesn't quite work.
No, it doesn't.
No, we don't. No. I don't even like saying the word spank.
No?
No, it makes me uncomfortable. Also, I do sometimes wear Spanx.
But you're okay with that?
Yeah, I'm okay with Spanx.
Okay. What about spanking?
No. It just makes me feel
what
a little uncomfortable.
Spanked, as in like past tense.
No, that's worse.
Okay, fair enough. What have you got for suggestible
this week?
It's
really bad as the word moist.
I'm okay with that. I know people don't like that. I'm like,
I hate that word.
It doesn't affect me.
I'm so sorry, everyone. What
are you doing this week?
What am I doing this week? Well, I want to recommend a movie that I watched on the old Netflixies.
Yeah, right.
Just came out. It's called Plus One.
I also watched that.
Oh, well, there you go. Hoosie deezy doozy.
Well, mostly because I saw you watching it and I'm like, this looks fun.
Yeah, and I was like having a gig.
Yeah.
I was giggling out loud.
The dummy or pacifier for our American listeners. Back to our baby. But please keep talking.
Okay, so this is from first-time feature directors Jeff Chan and Andrew Reimer, co-writers of the Hulu TV comedy Pen 15, which I haven't watched but I've heard really good. Yeah. The star is Maya Erskine, and she plays Alice, a smart Japanese-American woman who has just had a tough breakup with her boyfriend. Jack Quaid plays Ben, her best friend, and the two decide to team up to help with the ordeal of attending all the weddings they have to go to for the year because they're at that age where everybody's getting married, including, it turns out, Ben's father who's embarking on his third marriage. And so they decide to go to all of them together to save each other from the dreaded singles table.
Pretty standard premise, you know, as far as things go.
Correct.
But I think, but it's the journey in of this that
the journey. Oh God! What are we on, Oprah?
It felt like a brand spanking new journey. Now, what did you like about this? Because I saw you chuckling away.
I loved it. Well, I just was chuckling out loud. I think because I just wanted to watch something light and fun, and I'm really relishing the comeback of the rom-com.
Yeah.
Like, that is my genre,
and they're
baby.
Good too. Like,
they're good.
They're well cast.
Yeah.
You're seeing, like, different faces and new people.
Yeah, it's really good.
It's not the same old kind of people. It's not like it's Gerard Butler and Katherine Heigl or whatever, which they ended up being before they disappeared.
Yeah.
Well, neither of which I have a problem with. It's just that I'm not really interested in
I think the thing that really stood out in this film is that the pair have such great chemistry.
Yeah.
And I just think Erskine, just steals so many
She's
of the
so
scenes.
Funny
she
this,
is
yeah.
just hilarious. And she's so dry with her wit and sarcasm.
And a mess.
And a hot mess. And also her wacky kind of physical comedy is just so brilliant. And just the one-liners, like she'll just deliver and then the scene ends.
Yeah.
And I love the pacing of it. I just thought it was really fun. I think Jack Quaid was great too.
Yeah. He's from The Boys show on Amazon. I'll talk about the superhero show where all the superheroes are lunatics.
The Boys!
He's really good in
I
that
like
as well.
saying that. The boys!
The boys!
Yeah, I just doing that?
Startled the dog and the baby.
Oh, no, I shouldn't be yelling. I'm so sorry. Yeah, so I think even though it walks down all those familiar, well-tread or well-trod romantic comedy tropes, it's a little bit like Four Weddings and a Funeral-y or like My Best Friend's Wedding, but not. It's different.
I think it's better than those.
I absolutely agree. I think it is way better. I think it's also surprisingly...
It's also built on the back of those, so it's kind of easy to say, well, that movie from 30 or 20 years ago isn't as good as this new movie.
But yeah.
It's like, well, this movie exists because those movies.
Yeah,
exist,
correct.
You know?
Yeah, it has a vibe of that Love Wedding repeat.
I also enjoyed it more than that.
I did too.
Maybe
yeah.
What I thought it did, because I've written a few notes here because I knew you were talking about it. It captures like the lunacy of weddings often, or like the bad speeches or the repetitive nature that they. So if you start to go to a lot of weddings, you're like, here it comes. I know what this is. And I thought it also something. This, I'm going to sound like a complete prick, but I'm going to say this anyway. But it also captures those moments where people are pouring their heart out to each other. And they're just fawning over each other. It's this beautiful moment. And you're just watching and just like, who gives a shit? You know what I mean? It's like someone's like most important moment. And this isn't every wedding I've been to, but it definitely has happened to me a couple of times where I'm just like, whatever, this means nothing to me.
Terrible.
Not
terrible
to take
to
it away
say.
From that person.
I know what you
and
mean.
And I would never say that.
No,
but do you know what I mean?
What you mean.
They're
know.
So in it. And I'm just like, when's food? Like,
yeah,
you know?
I know. That's one of the reasons why at our wedding I was like, 5 minutes, guys. You have 5 minutes each. Yeah. That's it.
Get Don't, off.
Again, get
so
off.
Can all drink.
Yeah. And I got the speeching? The speeching out of the
Spanking.
Way. The smooching
yes.
was all night long. No, this is this, what am I even saying? The spanking, the speeches right out of the way early, and Mason even enjoyed that about our wedding.
He did. He still talks
speeches,
about that.
Booyah, like, straight out of the gate, and then get on with the dancing and eating times.
I also love a wedding as well. Like even a bad wedding, I'm like, this is all right because at least I've got now. Like I've got you there at least. You know what I mean? So I could enjoy them.
It did actually remind me a little bit this film of us going to weddings.
Yeah.
Just those like, and it is kind of lovely in that those like in jokes you look at each other when people's like partners say something really ridiculous or someone's uncle's being super drunk on the dance floor. All those like the speeches are a little bit too long or a little bit terrible or a little bit inappropriate and
absolutely.
All that stuff. And that's really fun. And I also just liked all the different versions of them. What did you think? I'm interested in your opinion about this. Part of it is about Ben's kind of character arc and him grappling with that whole kind of bogus concept of the one and only, and once you meet the one, they'll be perfect and it'll be a meet cute and it'll all be, you know, that whole thing.
That's probably a thing that people struggle with. I don't know if I ever had that kind of idea in my mind.
Because like, you met me.
Maybe.
Well, because I think what I liked about that was there was that conversation he had with a friend at one of the weddings towards the end. And I won't spoil it for everybody though.
I mean,
you know, it's pretty cool. But the conversation the guy had about he was sort of going on to these weddings thinking, how do people know for sure? And how is it that they're like celebrating their love and I'm never sure about anything? Yeah. And the guy was like, well, actually people are just hoping for the best.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
nobody's like...
Yeah.
You don't know what's going to happen.
No, you don't
like,
know
even if you're like pretty sure
in
that moment, which, you know, we were when we were married.
Very
I hope
sure.
so.
No, we were.
But you don't know what's going to happen.
No, life
know?
Is
and it's something
long.
You got to work on. And even mentions it's like, it's just a good time. Like if you invite all people and family that you like and there's plenty of like music and alcohol and if you want to drink, some people have dry
weeds.
And, you know, decent food and whatever. It's a good, fun time with people you like.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I think sometimes people get caught up in, and I've seen
like
friends do this.
The institute of marriage and being like, this is so important. And it is.
And it is, yeah. But I also think people get caught up with, what am I trying to say here?
Just sometimes, settle. Just give up.
No, that's not what it is at all. I think sometimes people can overthink the commitment stuff or overthink relationships or something
sure.
a little bit. Like, I think that's what he was doing too. Or maybe because of their experiences, that's what I'm trying to say, because of their experiences in the past in their own family and he'd experienced obviously divorce.
Yes.
He is then taking those worries and concerns and nervousness into his future relationships
absolutely.
And already picturing them falling apart, which is what he does. He like withdraws and you can see him when he knows that he loves her, just like becoming a total asshole.
Yeah.
And you can see that in relation. I've seen friends experience that with partners where they've just like not been able to fully commit and then become assholes and withdraw and then realize they've made a mistake or, you know, vice versa. Yeah. Anyway, I just thought that was interesting. But my favorite character was Alice's mother, Angela.
Yeah.
I just so love mean. Those scenes. I know she's so mean and so out there, but she's played so fantastically by Rosalind Chow. And I just, she's not even in it for that long.
No, she's in it for maybe 5 minutes.
Yeah. But I loved that scene where she does a speech at her Alice's sister's wedding. And she's just, you suddenly see all those moments with her family, Alice's family. You suddenly see why Alice is so out there and wacky and just calls it as she sees it and argues with everything, because her and her mother just basically yell at each other the whole time, but they love each other.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really handled well.
I also thought it was good how it kind of destigmatized divorce because of the dad. And obviously divorces can be terrible and messy and all of those things. But also it's I don't plan on getting a divorce. You never know. You know what I mean?
Don't say that.
I'm just saying you could do something horrible to me. I would never do anything.
Oh, God.
And what I'm saying is, like, it celebrates that, like, you know.
Life
is messy. And when I was with, you know, your mother and that was really special, but, you know, that. And then,
when he's high on the mushrooms and he's like, I wouldn't be the person I am without
her. Yeah, exactly. And exactly. So, like, it's not so much a failure. It's more like a stage than, like, what happens. It does. Because we know people are. Got divorced or have been divorced. It's not the end of the world. It's not a failure. There's no shame in it. If anything, it's a good thing to be like, let's not destroy ourselves. Let's kind of, you know, let's try and salvage what we can and, you know,
move on.
I think it can be a good thing.
Yeah, and be joyful and, I totally think that. It's kind of beautiful to kind of see that life is complicated. It's not all black and white and it's shades of grey and you have to also take people. I think there's a really awesome song I listened to by Tim Minchin called If I Didn't Have You, and it's on YouTube. It's really funny. And it's like, it's funny. And I think part of the reason I like it, even though it's terrible, he's basically saying to his wife when we met when they were 17, if I didn't have you statistically, I'd find someone else because there's like, you know, 2 billion people on the planet or
and
whatever.
He's not incorrect.
No.
Like whether or not that'd be better or worse. Yeah, he would have found.
Mathematically. And it's just. It is a really funny song. But then. There's something about it that it makes me laugh, but then I also think what he says is quite profound in the middle of it, in the mix of all the joking and everything, in that once you make that commitment to that person that you love, then you grow together and you keep growing together, and all the life experiences that you have, if you let it, you kind of teach each other about each other and grow and expand who each other are. Mm. And so – it's more than just like, oh, you just meet the one and it magically happens. No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
I don't think it – that's what I was trying to say before. It's not that necessarily you magically meet the one. It's that you meet someone that is right for you, who you love, and then you grow together and you keep working on it and you laugh and you are kind to each other and want the best for each other. And once that happens, it becomes better and better.
Mm.
And it's not always perfect. Do you know what I mean?
I absolutely agree. It's like an ongoing project.
Yeah.
It's like one of those little Japanese trees that you got to like look after.
And like clip the little leaves off.
Clip them. Yeah, wear clip a person them. Down. Sand their edges off.
Yeah. But anyway, I think that's a really wise way of thinking about relationships and life in general. Like I remember we did some marriage education before we got married and hitched, and they said that like – they'd been in a relationship with the same person but also different people over 40 years.
Mm.
Like this was the people running it. And I could see that because as you grow, like we met when I was like 19 and we changed. We're different people.
Yeah, absolutely.
But if you can learn to understand and grow together, you know, and relationships are cyclical, so they're not always going to be in that like full-on – you know, that whole, what's the like honeymoon phase where you're just like all gaga?
Yeah.
But they, it kind
of. Got a bloody baby. It's a different type of bloody gaga, am I right?
Correct, mate. And they kind of cycle.
Yeah.
So you go back into that stage though.
Yeah, definitely.
And then, you know, it comes around again, and each time you're learning more about the person. All I'm saying is, I love you, mate.
Thank you. I appreciate you too. I also wanted to say quickly, I remember reading that apparently couples who look more and more like each other as their lives go on because they mimic facial expressions.
Oh.
And so they're doing similar facial expressions and they get like the same creases and things. I remember reading that. I don't know whether that's true, but I thought that was really
I feel like that's happening to us in a serious way.
No doubt.
On one last little tiny note, in that YouTube video, If I Didn't Have You, that Tim Minchin does, he does a stand-up comedy routine after the song. And it just happened to be minute 9:30, so Collins can put this YouTube link in. He does a joke about babies breathing.
But I want to tell you something, because I didn't know this, right? When you first get your first baby, when they're little things, first couple of months, you spend your whole life scared shitless, because tiny babies, they sleep all the time, and when they sleep like this. They go...
Spot on.
And in the other room.
Yeah. And how they kind of breathe like.
Yeah.
And you just think at any moment they could possibly stop breathing and you're totally freaking out about it. Yeah. Exactly. And it's perfect. And it sums up how I feel. And then he goes in there and like.
I was just doing it literally right now.
Yeah. And like just is terrifying. It's terrifying. And if you've ever slept next to a newborn, it's like sleeping next to
them.
Like, they grunt all the time. Like. It's a whole world.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Anyway,
it's a whole world. I'm just putting the dummy back in again.
All right. Okay, your turn.
I really enjoyed this series. It's on Apple TV or Apple Plus, whatever you want to call it.
Uh-huh.
So which you can get with a new Apple device, which is the only reason I have it, because it's not a great streaming service. Because sometimes you're like, oh, a new movie. You click on it and then they're like, it's $14. Anyway, this show is called Defending Jacob. It's based on the novel of the same name. It's created by Mark Bomback, who's behind the new Planet of the Apes movies, Outlaw King, which is a movie on Netflix starring. It's set just after the William Wallace stuff, you know, from Braveheart. Mm. It's got like Chris Pine. It's really great. Anyway, this stars Chris Evans, who's Captain America, Michelle Dockery, who's the lead of Downton Abbey. Jaden Martell, Cherry Jones, J.K. Simmons, they're all fantastic. And for the premise, I'll just read it out because I wrote this weeks ago and I can't remember it. But after a shocking crime rocks a small town, an assistant district attorney finds himself torn between his sworn duty to uphold the law and unconditional love for his son. So what it's essentially about is a kid at school turns up murdered. And then his son is implicated in the crime, his 13-year-old son.
Whoa.
And he's, as I mentioned, Chris Evans, who's fantastic in this play, is his father. And there is that conflict of interest because, you know, he's very good at his job, but all of a sudden he's on the other side of it. Because, you know, he's initially involved in the investigation, then it comes to light that his son had involvement with this kid and how much of his son was actually involved in this, how much he knew, did he do it? It becomes this whole mystery. And it's really well done. And it's one of those situations where it puts you in where, like, if you knew your child played a part in a horrific crime, potentially, what do you do? You know what I mean? Because you don't stop loving them, obviously. But what do you do?
Man,
you know what I mean?
So
especially
fun.
When you don't know, because you kind of find out as you go along, like, he seems like maybe he is really good at manipulating people. Maybe he's a sociopath. Maybe he isn't. You know, it throws a lot of doubt into question the whole time and has the parents kind of questioning each other at various times about whether it's true or not. You know, sometimes they're more staunch than other times, and then more evidence comes to light, and then, you know, and then other things that maybe he didn't do it. And it's really fantastic. So you should watch it. It's on, if you love a murder mystery.
It
brings in like social media and things like that as well, because there's a lot of like bullying online and stuff like that, which happens in it as well. But it's really great. And I can't stress enough in particular how good Chris Evans, Michelle Dockery, and Jaden Martell.
You love Chris Evans.
Yeah,
you have
great.
A man boner for Chris Evans.
I've got a regular boner for Chris Evans. But it's just it's excellent, and Jaden Martell is the lead in it. If you've seen the kid, I don't think you've seen the.
I haven't, no, because it's terrifying, and I don't watch terrifying things.
That's fine. It's not that terrifying. It's one of those ones you can kind of
You say that, but it's probably still scary.
Yeah, you might be right. But no, I think this one you would really, really enjoy, Defending Jacob.
All right.
Really, like you should watch it.
Okay, yeah. Excellent. I am going to do that.
Please do.
I will.
What's next?
All right, so I have a book and a podcast kind of simultaneously. So I talked a little bit about Austin Channing Brown, I think, on a previous podcast. And she is awesome. She's written a book called I'm Still Here, Black Dignity in... I can't say that word. Dignity. Oh, there we go. I'm Still Here, Black Dignity in a World Made for Whiteness. Mm-hmm. And I was so surprised, I think, by this book, by how much I felt I didn't know.
Right.
And I think this is one of the things I kind of wanted to address with you too, in the era that we're...
Sorry, go on.
In the movement Black Lives Matter that we're in currently, and I think as someone who likes to think of myself as progressive and left-wing and, you know, quite, you know, treating people equally and all of this stuff, there is so much that I still and probably will never understand about these kind of issues and racism, I guess, and what people experience, particularly because I am white.
Yeah.
And I've started looking at white fragility as well, and that's kind of concept I've never heard either. But this book is a really good place to start because it's a memoir, really, and it's about her life story and growing up in a really white neighborhood, and then her parents get divorced and she moves to a black neighborhood, and then finding her black church. And I guess she also then, and I would recommend listening to the podcast first, there's a podcast called Unlocking Us with my favorite Brené Brown, and she interviews Austin. And one of the first stories Austin talks about is that her parents gave her the name Austin, which is ostensibly an older white male name.
Right.
And her experience of having that name, why they gave it to her to give her an inroads in the workforce and in other spheres of her life.
So they see the application.
Yeah. And like, often, she said, almost every time she applies for a job, they think that they're getting a straight white man, basically.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
And she turns up and everyone kind of freaks out internally but doesn't say that. But you can tell that there, she says, you can tell people are reassessing, looking through a resume, trying to check whether there were any signs to see.
Oh, yeah. It's a great way to get a foot in the door, though.
Yeah, that she's a woman of color. Yeah.
Clever, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I guess Austin, in her conversation with Brené Brown, which is why I think it's really great to listen to the episode, talks about how it shouldn't just be, you know, her job or people of color or your friends with people who are people of color to educate you. And she said, often white people make the excuse, I'm not a racist, I have a black friend. I'm not a racist, I have a, you know, a Chinese friend or something.
I keep a photo on hand for those scenarios.
Like, yeah, exactly. Or even my husband is, insert ethnicity.
Well, that's pretty not
I can't
racist,
be
though.
Racist then. Well, yeah, and she said that's actually not the point, and that white people should actually be talking about this, even though, and even now, I feel like I'm getting everything wrong and it makes me really uncomfortable to talk about this because I feel like I'm going to offend someone and you don't want to offend anyone.
So it's the perspective of the book and interviews where
it's
not like, oh, I know people, so I'm not racist. It's more like it's something that you can't comprehend in it.
Yeah, and that ostensibly because
you
are
around to be like,
look at me, I'm not racist because I know someone who's.
You see that so often as well.
Exactly. Yeah. And she said that actually we all have internalized racism.
Not me.
No, but that it's important for white people, I guess, or anyone, any person, but particularly white people in this moment, to talk about this with other white people, examine our own social biases, and look at the way that the world is set up for us and then examine that in ourselves and educate ourselves. It's our responsibility to go and do that. And so anyway, this now I'm making this book sound really dry. It's not at all. It's a memoir and it makes you feel things and makes you really think differently, and it kind of shifts your whole world, or my whole world. It shifted my whole world of understanding what it would be like to grow up as a person of color in a particular cultural group. So, and it's just a great read too. It's very easy to read. It's called "I'm Still Here: Black Dignity in a World Made for Whiteness." It's really Austin's. It's a memoir, about her childhood and growing up. It's really interesting in America.
I was thinking about that name thing that you mentioned. It reminds me of I have an Indian friend.
Here we go.
We have a friend called Barry.
Yeah,
whose last name I won't say, obviously, but his birth name is Baljinder. And his parents changed him when he was really young, when he was in kindergarten, because it was to do with like how the kids couldn't pronounce it. But I think there probably was, because I know his dad and him have both experienced like racism, you know, which isn't uncommon because I know there's a lot of, harden up or whatever. Shut the fuck up. Like, you don't know what
you're talking about. Yeah.
But I think a lot of that is would have been like Barry is like a very traditionally Australian name. They could have picked anything or not changed it, but that's what they went with, you know?
Yeah.
And I just think that's...
It's really interesting. Well, even, and I know, I don't know if you're comfortable talking about when you guys went to go get pizza from the pizza shop.
Yeah.
Yeah, and how the you went to pick up the pizza and Barry went to grab it and the guy thought that he was the Uber driver.
He was the Uber driver, yeah.
Yeah.
And he like laughed. He was like, but like that's... And that there's nothing, there's not, no malice there, but that's, yeah, that's exactly.
That's
like,
the kind of.
If I had have grabbed it, nobody would have thought that I was the Uber driver.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you very well could have been, but it's, yeah, and I guess that, and you wonder what that's like on a day-to-day basis. Yeah. I saw Ernie Dingo, who is an Indigenous Australian comedian, and we kind of grew up with him as a comedian in the 90s. He did a lot of, hosted a lot of kids shows. And
yeah, he did. And he did like travel shows and stuff like that.
Travel shows. Yeah. And yeah, and he's really excellent.
He's in the second Crocodile Dundee.
He is. And I saw him do an interview recently about why he developed his sense of humour and how it became a deflection mechanism.
Yeah.
Because literally every day of his life, he was coping with little situations like that.
Yeah.
And even though in the instant it doesn't look that bad, but over time, if that's happening to you on a daily basis, you get exhausted and tired. And you can imagine, like, there's so much in our lives that just happens so easily that we don't even realize happens so easily.
Yeah.
Like, Austin talks about borrowing some library books, and her library card had Austin on it, and she was like 8 or something, and the librarian didn't believe that it was her library card.
Really?
Yeah, because she was like, well.
Like she's going to steal. Like she's steal
the books or something. Or she talks about her parents teaching her about how she could be in shops and how if she picked something up in a chemist, you don't put your hands in your pockets. Make sure it's clear that you've put it down and you don't put your hands in your bag or in your pockets because you don't want to give anyone any reason to frisk you or to think that you were trying to steal something.
Yeah, well, I've heard stories like that of, and also like how to, like when people are pulled over, depending what your background is, how you should behave, how you should, you know.
How you're treated,
and how you, you know, keep your hands like kind of on the roof of the car and things like that just so people, you know, because there's been cases of people being shot.
Yeah.
Just, you know.
Exactly. For no reason. Yeah.
So it's,
And I know.
Anyway,
and
I think we've solved it. So I think it's good to be, I should read that because I think it's really good to be mindful of those things. Because, yeah, I'm definitely one of those people who's like, well, yeah, I'm not racist or whatever, but. Yeah, well, I've had a completely different experience, so you don't even know.
Yeah, and there's things that you might
can't
say.
Comprehend the experience of others.
Yeah, exactly. Or there's things that you might say or assume that you don't even realize have offended someone or made someone's life more difficult.
Yeah, absolutely.
And yeah, anyway, it just made me really think about this and also how difficult, like even now I'm cringing about this conversation because I feel like I'm going to offend someone. And the message I've sort of been reading about is that we shouldn't be afraid to examine this kind of stuff and have these conversations because it can only really help, I think, if we can develop more empathy. Anyway, it's a really interesting book.
Cool.
And
that's cool.
I would recommend if you don't have time to read a book, listen to the podcast Brené Brown with Austin Channing Brown called Unlocking Us.
Okay.
It's really good.
Cool. All right. Well, then let's bloody wrap it up then.
Wrap it up. Okay. Well, do you have any reviews for us over there? Because
you can review us
in app straight away.
The best thing about a review is you can just do it in app. You can open up your app. You can just do it right there. 5 stars if you could, like Matthew0027 said. You might learn something.
Mm-hmm.
On an episode, they talked about the birth of their new child. Claire compared to getting a cesarean to getting the last little toothpaste out of a tube. I was eating chili cheese burrito from Taco Bell at the time. And I don't think I'll look brushing my teeth burritos or the podcast in the same way again. So there you go. He learned something horrifying. He didn't want to know it, but he learned something, and that's really interesting.
That is.
Did you get any interesting things?
I got some great emails. And you can email the show if you have any recommendations at suggestiblepod@gmail.com, or if you just want to say, hey, dudes, we love you. We think you're top. Excellent. Anyway, this one is from Keshika, and I'm probably going to say this name wrong. I'm so sorry. And he writes, "Hi, Claire and James. Hope you and the kiddos are staying safe and healthy. I was listening to this last week's episode where you mentioned the Australian Comedy Festival on Stan. And this is a correction and I wanted to mention it. We talked about Sammy J, who does the puppetry for Randy Feltface.
He doesn't do the puppet.
No, he doesn't. Yeah. It's a comedian named Heath MacIvor.
I realised that as soon as we finished.
No, I felt so terrible. Anyway, they do work together though. Right.
Yes.
Yeah, they do. But they do. He voices Randy.
Not exclusively, but yeah, they have worked together.
No,
yeah.
He's a long-time comedy partner. So they do lots of shows together, including an Aussie TV show called Ricketts Lane, and you can hear all about them and their relationship in a recent podcast Heath featured in called Under the Puppet.
Mm.
I think that would be really interesting. And his suggestion is Randy's solo stand-up routine, Randy Writes a Novel, where he does a one-hour routine that is both hilarious and thought-provoking. I would love to watch that.
What's it on?
Our YouTube. YouTube. Yeah. Keep up the good work on this podcast because it brings us all joy to hear Claire's lovely voice.
Aww.
And dulcet tones.
Ugh.
And James's rampant rants. Ooh, good alliteration there. Take care. Kayushika.
Nailed it.
I'm so not nailed
get
it.
Another correction from that same person.
I'm so sorry, mate. Anyway, thank you for writing in. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
Cool. Okay, that's it for us.
All right, we'll be back next week, won't we, Claire?
Who knows?
Who does know? But we will be here. We're keeping it consistent. We're keeping it high. We're keeping it tight, aren't we?
Yeah, always keep it tight.
All right. We'll see you guys.
Nice, tight.
On the next...
Buttocks. Oh, no, it's firm buttocks.
Yes.
From my favorite rom-com.
Notting Hill.
Sleepless in Seattle.
No, Claire, you've got the movie wrong. Now we're going to get more corrections.
All right. See you and your nice firm buttocks next week.
Yes.
Goodbye.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.